Welcome to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Van Wee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. It's Memorial Day weekend. And this is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here live as always, and we'll be live hopefully for the whole hour. Looking at me funny.
Why would we not be live for the whole hour?
I don't know. I just wanted to pass on to everybody that this is a very important weekend, especially for a city like Jacksonville, because Memorial Day is very meaningful everywhere across the country, but especially in places where there are great concentrations of military people. And inevitably, that means there are great concentrations of people who have lost people while serving in the military. That's why we have a national cemetery and many other things. And it's what makes this town the conservative, wonderful place that those of us born in the frozen tundra have managed to migrate to and love every minute of being here. It certainly adds to the flavor, the color, the people, everything about this place that we now call home. So, in keeping with the couple of shows before us this morning, this is Military Appreciation Show, and does not have to do with your money, although certainly fine if you do, but we would encourage callers, as the last two shows have, just who have military stories, either about themselves or relatives, maybe about people you've lost, maybe about people who retired successfully. It can be most anything, just anything you find interesting. There are quite a few of us who have never served in the military, and I don't know if that makes the stories more important to us or not, but it seems like it should or does.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. And there have been people in our family who fought in wars like the Civil War and in 1898, and some that were lost. They're on the distant side of the show, but definitely important to all of us. So we encourage your calls. Lines are always open from the beginning of the show, and we always will move the callers right to the front. So I want to welcome everybody back. Our regulars, thank you for showing up again, and tell your friends. And for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, either on purpose or by accident, stick around for the hour. Maybe we'll learn something. Maybe we'll hear some good war stories. And maybe it'll be a combination of all of that. But you can hardly walk away feeling anything but really good about what's going on in this country right now. And I think we're getting a real appreciation for military out of the White House that we have not seen for some time.
Thank goodness.
It was long overdue, and I am very proud of the people who stuck it out. I know a lot of people did leave over the last 8 years, but the people who served the nation rather than anybody in particular are very important. Now, without any delay, we have Bill Hay. And what are you up to today, Mr. Bill?
Good morning, Steve. I'm just heading to the airport. Seems like I either live at the studio or live at the airport. But I wanted to make a comment on your Memorial Day show, and thank you for having it. We're going to follow suit and do the same thing later on this evening.
Great.
But as we're seeing across the country, many little factions of activists across the country are trying to change history, and I wanted to shed light on something that was important that we remember about today. Memorial Day was originally founded by former slaves to memorialize the black soldiers that were lost during the Civil War that fought on the side of the Union.
Yep.
And over history, we have forgotten that and have lost sight of the origin of this day that we celebrate as Memorial Day. And with this changing tide in our country and so many folks trying to rewrite history and remove statues from various cities around the country, we need to remember that this holiday that we celebrate was started by what was at that point in time an extreme minority on the outside of the core portions of our country. And it was started to remember their fallen dead, and they graciously allowed us to tack on the fact that we now salute all of those that have died in battle serving the United States. And that's what I wanted to say this morning, Steve. And thank you for your show. I enjoy listening to it each and every weekend.
We appreciate it, and I hope you have a good show tonight, Bill. All right. Have fun.
Yeah, that was a really good tidbit there.
He's very knowledgeable about such things.
Yeah. I wasn't aware that that was the origin of Memorial Day.
I knew the rough outline of that, but having started by the slaves back in the Civil War era, I was unaware of that. I knew when it started. I know where it started. Waterloo is claiming it, although I think there are 13 cities that claim it. It was made a national holiday in 1971, and it was fixed to the fourth Monday in May. So that, ready for this one? This is patriotism their way.
Okay.
So that federal employees could get a 3-day weekend.
Oh, geez.
I'm not making this up either.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, isn't it, though? But, you know, for whatever reason, it's far more important that we remember what we're celebrating than it is to remember when we're celebrating it. It
Absolutely.
Has gotten a bit confused, as many holidays have, including Christmas and such, in that it's considered the beginning of summer, which is fine. I have no problem with that. But it's considered a paid day off for a lot of people, just another party day. And in far too many instances, you forget that this exists for a reason, and a very, very fine reason at that. So I think Howard was just saying, thank a military person if you see one today.
Yeah, and if you're listening right now, we'd love to hear from you.
So we would.
Give us a call. Tell us about your military experience, either current or former. And just no need to talk finance. Just call in and let us know about it. We'd love to hear from you.
Yep. Now, we'll get into our market wrap in a second, but I just changed my mind. I'm going to do a Memorial Day trivia question. This one, it's sort of. Anyway, this is not only the start of summer unofficially, but it's the start of picnic time, that sort of thing. How many hot dogs do Americans eat per second between now and Labor Day?
I have no idea.
Well, it is a large number.
I bet.
Let me tell you. So if anybody can get that, we will get something back to you. It's brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. That's 636-7888, and Ken will pick up the phone himself. You can talk about keeping your house safe, along with all keeping your family safe and that sort of thing. All right, we're going to turn it over to Adam for a market wrap that's going to be divided by our first break. But we'll get started by, I always like to make my observation for the week. Yeah, how did it feel and all that? This was a week that felt kind of blah to me. And turned out really nicely.
It was a great week.
It really was.
Yeah, I mean,
why don't you give it a quick summary, then we'll come in right after the break and do a little more in-depth look at it.
The quick summary is the market went up every day. Not every index, but the S&P went up every day and ended a really nice week, up 1.4%. But the NASDAQ is the real story of the week. The NASDAQ has been on an absolute tear this year. It gained another 2.1% this week to bring it to 15.4% on the year. Unbelievable.
That is quite something.
And if you look at the QQQ, which is the 100 biggest stocks in the NASDAQ, it's up almost 20% on the year.
That's not bad either.
No.
Now, last time that happened, I'll give you the year, but I won't give it to you until after the break, and we all know what happened. But then I'll tell you why it's nothing to worry about also. All right, we're going to have to take a little break, and we'll be right back. Do not go anywhere. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this is the Military Appreciation Show, brought to you by the fact that it's Memorial Day weekend. So we encourage anyone who is either in the military or has friends or relatives or whatever who has stories to tell, this city has a lot of stories involving the military. All right, lines are open, 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. And Adam was giving us a look at an absolutely excellent week in the market. And I'm going to let him wrap that up before I make my observation about the NASDAQ.
Yeah, so the Dow also went up a little bit less than the rest of them, 1.3%, and for the year it stands at 6.7%, so not a bad almost half year for the Dow either. And all of that political uncertainty of last week, forgotten, gone, just dismissed as quickly as it came, basically. So the S&P also appears to have broken out of its sideways pattern this week and looks like it's going to push another leg higher. So I'm pretty encouraged about it. It's been in the stair step pattern, and it had been on the run trend. And not on a rise. Yep. So it's looking like a good time to get in, which I actually did this week. So the only sector to decline was energy, and much of that was on OPEC not further cutting their production, even though they did agree to extend their current cuts for 9 more months. The market wanted more.
Yeah, and when they announced that, the oil price went up.
Yeah.
But when they re-announced it, it went down.
Substantially, 5% in a day.
But then it recovered for a couple of days.
It did, too. So the weakness in oil prices is terrible for the oil companies, but it's great for those of you hitting the road this weekend or throughout the summer driving season.
All 34 million of you.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to save some serious money on those road trips this summer.
Absolutely.
Which is nice. And internationally, things continue to look up, with most foreign country indexes heading higher this week once again. Of the 30 largest countries outside the U.S., only Russia's ETF, which is RSX, is lower on the year. South Korea's ETF, EWY, is up 28.34% this year to lead all of those 30 countries. And I always talk about the NASDAQ being a tech-heavy index, but you know what? It is. But if you look at the S&P these days, technology is actually the largest sector of the S&P at over 23%, thanks to the gains made by the huge tech companies. Mm-hmm. And financials is the second biggest at just under 14%. So that's quite a big spread between the largest and the second largest. And it's a pretty tech-heavy index now, too. So kind of interesting.
The last time those things happened was in 01. And as I said, I'll get back to that.
Yeah. So the big economic news this week was that first quarter GDP was revised up from 0.7 to almost 1.2%.
And that isn't the biggest part of the story.
What do you think the biggest part is?
The biggest part of the story is why.
Yeah, there was some good things and some bad things.
But the number one thing is the most important thing. It was business investment sharply on the rise. Now, what would cause that?
I don't know. Optimism?
The Trump factor?
Yeah. The one bad thing, though, was government spending was also up, and that's a trend I don't want to see continue.
Just a little.
Yeah, I don't think we will see it continue with Trump in office, but we'll see what happens.
Now, remember, that was first quarter.
Right.
And you know how much money Obama spent in his last month?
Good point.
Yeah. I think when that number shakes out, you're going to see a substantial drop in Q2.
Jobless claims just continue to plug along at their historic lows, which is a great sign for the economy. And new home sales actually missed their target pretty bad this week. The previous month was actually revised up to a new post-recession high of 642,000.
Yeah. Well, as you mentioned last week, there's a problem measuring something like that on a month-to-month basis.
Right. You have to look at the trend. Absolutely.
That's why they do the same thing with the initial unemployment claims. They do the four-week rolling average, which makes a lot more sense. Maybe we should announce a three-month rolling average or something on
The claims aren't quite as volatile as the housing numbers, though, typically.
No. But they're weather related and all that. So you got to look at the trend line one way or the other. And the trend is good, but it's still not good enough to replace what we need. So I'm still a huge bull on the house building.
Oh, that's where I was going with this. To put that in perspective, during the bubble, the number hit almost 1.4 million in new home sales. And we're at 642,000. So I think we're not in another bubble. I think reverting to the norm in terms of normal house sales for years and years and years until we had the bubble, and now we're seeing the total market just go back to where it should have been if that had never happened.
And the trend line with the 300,000 plus homes is still alive and well too.
Yeah.
So it's not that people aren't investing in the housing market. They are, and if they're not careful, it's going to rise more because the inventory isn't there. Speaking of which, business inventories fell in Q1. That means they have to be replaced, and that means people are going to get
more production,
jobs.
Yeah.
So that was another good sign. All in all, I think what you're looking at is an economy that is waking up and hoping that it wasn't a bad dream, or hoping it was just a bad dream or whatever, and I think you're going to start to see it ratcheting up again. We will not get jobs numbers for the month of May next week because of the shortened time involved. It'll be the week after that. I strongly suspect those are going to be very good looking numbers too.
I suspect you're correct.
Yep. So that is kind of another good week in what has been a pretty interesting time since the 8th of November.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would have guessed that the NASDAQ would be up 15% this year.
No, and about that. Last time that happened, we were in 2001 in March, and the walls started to come tumbling down. Is that going to happen again?
I don't think so. I do see a case to be made for a pullback.
I do too, but not a big crash. The NASDAQ lost something like 80% of its value in the period following March of 01. But there was a fundamental problem with the NASDAQ back then. It was the dot-com boom, and things were being invented and put online and funded by venture capitalists and so on. And there was no substance to most of these. They weren't making any money. So we were inventing new ways to justify the stock prices, including number of hits daily and so on. But then somebody came up with the term burn rate. Remember the burn rate?
I do. I was in grad school at the time and they were teaching it.
Uh-huh. The burn rate was very simply, how much money do you have as a corporation and how much of it do you spend over and above your sales every day? And your burn rate would determine what day you were going out of business.
And for some reason, they were actually looking at the longer burn rate meant you were a better company.
Exactly.
Because you had more money? And
yeah.
It made no sense.
But the longer burn rate apparently saved people the trouble of having to go out there and actually find a business model where you could make money.
Oh, that tricky little thing, yeah.
But think of the names that are left. Apple.
Amazon.
What did those companies do differently than the ones who rolled up and blew away like dust?
They, well, for one thing, Apple invented a game-changing product. So,
yes.
Or several of them, really.
Several of them.
Right? Yeah.
Innovation, in other words. If you had to use a single word, it would be profitability.
Well, not necessarily. Amazon just recently got profitable. Their burn rate was really high for a long time, but they were well-funded as well.
And they made innovation the hallmark of their whole concept.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the companies that are today the giants in the tech industry are there because they learned how to make money.
Exactly.
So now the NASDAQ has a valuation that's back to old business school valuation, meaning what is the real value, the intrinsic value of these companies that they make money. Good morning, Don.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Absolutely wonderful. What's new with you?
My mind's working this morning, so I was going to be curiosity about some things that I've worried over the years.
Okay.
I don't know how we're going to pay off this national debt.
Not good.
I don't know how we're going to do that, but I want to ask you some questions that I've really been confused over the years. Sure. You know, when we have these recessions, what causes them things? I really don't, to this day, don't understand why the things happen.
You want to know the cop-out reason first?
I want to know what causes it and how does it start, how does it finish?
Well, first off, there is something that is an absolute rule of economics. It's called the business cycle. Bill Clinton once said that he had repealed the business cycle. And yet, in his last year, he handed over an economy in recession to George Bush. So apparently his repeal was overridden. The problem is things get too good. People get a little carried away. A lot of things are made. A lot of things are bought. Prices rise. People are working up to maximum employment. So wages start to rise above their actual value. And the market gets out of balance. So then it slows down and backs down. And that becomes a recession. They are usually short and they are usually shallow. The really bad ones have had fundamental problems in them. And if you go back to 2007, you can see exactly what I mean by that. 2007 was the bursting of a massive bubble in the housing market that was caused by stupid government policy, which made things more pricey than they were valuable. So there was a great disconnect between the price of something and the value of something. And then to top it off, they made it so that Everybody should be able to buy these things, whether or not they can afford them. But that is going to catch up with you. Bad policy will always catch up with you. So that was a long one.
Pardon? I was sure like to know how we're going to balance this budget with $20 trillion.
All right. Well, if you can hang on through the break, I would love to talk about that.
I will.
Thanks so much. All right. We're going to have to take a break, and then we're going to talk about balancing budgets in the seemingly impossible smoke and mirrors that were pulled last time they said they did it, and how it's going to be a lot tougher today, unfortunately. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this is the Memorial Day show, and we are looking for anyone who has a military story to tell and share with us. Got a couple of quick things. This segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. The trivia question, sponsored by First Coast Alarm, is still out there. And that says, how many hot dogs per second do Americans eat between now and Labor Day? And it's a pretty good sized number, strangely enough. All right. We've been talking to Don about things like budgets and so on. We're going to get right back into that. You back?
You want me to say something?
Absolutely.
I'm just curious. We're $20 trillion in debt. Well, who do we owe it to?
Anybody who owns a government bond. That means if you hold T-bills or T-bonds, if you've got TIPS or anything, savings bonds, any form of indebtedness is represented by the... It is made up, the debt is made up of all those bonds that have been issued by the government. Now, it's nice to have some debt because a lot of people want what they call risk-free investments for pension plans and so on, which means government bonds, which are backed by the full faith, credit, and printing press of the United States of America, they are the definition of the risk-free rate of return, which is, by the way, and incidentally, one of the reasons we want interest rates to go up, so that investors who need safe income can go back to earning some safe income instead of 0.1% a year. But I digress. But anyway, that is what the national debt is. It's all the bonds that are issued by the government, held in various countries, various individuals, various entities like pension plans, and so on.
So it's not just a United States debt. It's worldwide debt, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. We owe a lot of people a lot of money because they hold our bonds. And when I say a lot of money, I mean a lot of money. You know what the value of the financial assets in the world are?
No, I don't.
About $120 trillion. Do you know how much unfunded liability America has?
Yes, I'm very aware of that.
Mm-hmm. A number that is not unequal to the value of the world's assets. So along the line, what has happened is that we have made pledges to various people, various companies, various entities. We have made pledges far in excess of our ability to pay. So back to your...
Have we ever been this far in debt before?
No. It goes greater every year. The only time in modern history when it backed up a little bit, it was done in the Clinton administration. It was done by smoke and mirrors. Adam and I were just talking about this in the break. Social Security, up till the year 2010, was a wonderful system whereby people paid in more than people took out. In 2010, that changed. Well, back in the supposedly balanced budget years, what they did was the government credited the excess Social Security payments to its various expenditures. So it looked like things were balanced. But they weren't balanced because the Social Security system was living off IOUs because they were spending the money. Well, now what happens? 2010 came, and all of a sudden, for the first time, the expenditures on Social Security, meaning people like me taking benefits, exceed what people like Adam are putting in every month. So now if you tried to balance the budget on the back of Social Security, it cannot happen because there's no money there to borrow anymore. And in fact, in West Virginia, in one of the buildings named after Robert Byrd, I'm sure, there is a filing cabinet. In that filing cabinet are IOUs. Those IOUs are printed by the government and given to the Social Security people in West Virginia who put that IOU in the filing cabinet. And that filing cabinet was filling up pretty fast all the years that there was excess money coming in. Well, now what they do is they call the person over in West Virginia and say, you got to pull out a couple of those IOUs and send them back to us because, oh, guess what? Social Security isn't collecting the money anymore. So there's nothing there. We have to replace those with money because we're sending out more cash and benefits than we're receiving cash in premiums. So every single month now, we have a problem that didn't exist back then. Now, let's go back a little further to the wonderful days of Ronald Reagan. People asked Reagan, how are you going to get the budget balanced? And his answer was, grow the economy. And that is exactly the right answer for the year 2017. How are we going to balance it? But you can't just do it on that. Not when we have the kind of budgeting that goes on in D.C., which they call baseline budgeting. In Washington, D.C., if you've got a budget of $1 billion this year, your assumption for next year is about 8% more than that. And then you got to fight if you want any more than that. Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. If you keep spending a compounded number bigger than the compounded income you're getting, you're going to get deeper in debt. You're never going to solve the problem. So the first thing we have to do is go back to what we call zero-based budgeting, meaning your budget for this year was whatever it was. Next year, your budget is zero. Now, you tell me how much you absolutely need. That's zero-based budgeting. Of course, it's not been done lately.
Pardon? You know, I've thought about this for a long, long time now. And I'm convinced of doing one thing. The only thing that I know what to do, because I'm just an individual. But I think in Washington, the politicians need to be lying against the wall like the Nazis do. And I don't mean just shoot them, but threaten them.
Well, I have a solution that we call simply term limits. That's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, same thing. But the truth of the matter is, they're doing nothing.
I absolutely agree.
And I think this process should start. There should be about a 15% of the federal budget, no matter what, life, death, war, or whatever, 15% of it should be put back in to pay for the national debt, and nobody can touch it, like that lockbox theory on Social Security. Huh? We need to take this 15% and start paying this debt, because I don't think people realize if a major depression hit this country, and we got $20 million in debt, what do you think we're going to do? We're going to collapse.
Well, your argument is falling on very sympathetic ears. We couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely. All right, I got to run. We've got a couple more calls waiting. I really appreciate your call. You have a wonderful Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Al, good morning.
Good morning to you. I got a question on two stocks.
Sure.
One is Verizon, and the other is General Electric. Now, Verizon's down 15% year-to-date, mm-hmm. and GE's down 13% year-to-date. Do you think they're going to hold the dividend on Verizon, because I'm holding that in my account?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I'm going to let Adam answer that.
I've been following the telecom sector pretty closely this year, and you're right. There's not that many telecom stocks to begin with. You've got basically AT&T, Verizon, and
Sprint.
T-Mobile, Sprint. That's it. And, so they're really struggling to they have a great customer base. They are constantly looking for new customers, and in doing so, they're cutting their own profit margins. So it's not a real sustainable business model at this point. So Personally, I think that at these levels, I'm looking more towards buying Verizon and AT&T, and I don't think that they're going to cut their dividend. However, that I could be wrong about that. They haven't given any indication yet. But I like them more than I dislike them at this point, but I do think the industry needs a kind of a major overhaul in the way they do things, because this cutting their own profit margins to attract new customers while they're losing an equal amount of customers, it's not good for anyone.
Most of them to this T-Mobile guy.
Yeah, he's done really well. He's kind of the exception to the rule right now.
But he doesn't pay a dividend at all in his portfolio. But also, why come AT&T and Verizon don't go together and buy out T-Mobile?
I think that because of the size of the
wasn't
small...
Wasn't that turned down for antitrust?
Not those two. It was T-Mobile and Sprint, I believe.
Okay.
There's so few companies in the space that the government regulators are worried that it would be a monopoly if those two combined, or if AT&T bought one
of
them.
Which is pretty incredible when you consider that in that industry, the government has authorized monopolies since Alexander Graham Bell.
Well, it's a cycle. They keep authorizing them and then breaking them up and authorizing them, breaking them up.
Okay. Could you hold through the break and we'll talk GE afterwards?
Yeah, okay, sure, I will.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
Time segments go flying by when you're having fun like this today. That's a very interesting question with the lack of competition that was created by the government, which is now kind of hurting everything. And it's the same thing they did back then with oil. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have been talking to Al about Verizon and the lack of competition in that area. And now we're going to move on to GE, and Adam has some very interesting observations. You there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Adam's going to give you a little rundown on the appearance of the problem, and then I'm going to tell you what my diagnosis of the problem is.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So I was just looking over their key statistics here during the break, and basically right now their earnings are barely covering what they're paying out in dividends. That's never a good sign.
Exactly.
And that's a little bit scary if they don't turn it around. Their earnings are down from second quarter of last year about 50% in this quarter. So obviously they are not, there's not enough profit here to, at the current time, to have a sustainable business. Luckily they have a lot of cash, so they can deal with it, but they're going to have to increase their profitability. And part of it is, I was just reading over their description, they are into everything. And you have to wonder, I know they've sold off some stuff recently, but you have to wonder if they need to trim that down more and try and focus on the things they do really well. Because some of the stuff they're into should be just killing it. Any military right now should be.
Absolutely.
They make a lot of parts for aircraft engines, specifically military aircraft engines. They do energy, renewable energy, and all of these things are
nukes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, nukes hasn't been a great business for the last 20 years.
But I'd be very interested in it right now.
Yeah, definitely. That's something that could open up in the future, and it actually could help them out tremendously. But you have to wonder when you see a company that's into that many different things if they've kind of lost their focus.
And now I'll tell you my diagnosis of the problem. His name is Jeffrey Immelt.
Okay.
If you go back to the Jack Welch days when guys like Immelt and Nardelli, there were five major divisions at the time. There were five people that were vying for Jack's job. He chose poorly in my book. Immelt tried to be Jack. He is no Jack.
No,
I don't think he knows Jack.
No one will ever be Jack Welch again.
I agree, but I think he chose very poorly. And if you remember, Immelt was on Obama's Jobs Council in the White House, and meanwhile he was shipping 20,000 jobs overseas to China. He moved the Waukesha, Wisconsin MRI machine building to China.
Now, oh my goodness.
If you can't make money in a high-tech, super expensive field like that in the U.S., you're doing something really wrong, I think. So I don't think that people have been, or at least the right people, have been willing to work under Immelt like they were for Jack Welch.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they've got a problem that emanates right from the top and comes down. If I were a big shareholder, I would demand that he be fired and we put somebody in there who has an actual plan for turning it around. Right now, they got a P.E. of 28, price over earnings. That means you got to have a lot less P or a lot more E to bring it back in line with about a 14 or so. So I might buy it on a dip.
Right.
50% dip, by the way.
Yeah, okay. All right, so I guess we just hang on. Well, I'm not hanging on to it because I don't own it, but I'm just waiting to see it. Maybe it would go down far enough we could get into and buy in for the dividend part of it and then get some capital gain on the way up.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan. I would be watching it.
What do you think the buy-in part would be, down below 25?
It really, to me, it would depend on what happens with their earnings next quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So watch that carefully. And if you start to see it come up, I would say, it would have to increase substantially, though.
Right.
Their earnings target.
If you put a
target,
new guy in, then it would probably move up pretty good then, wouldn't it?
I think the market would react very positively to a new CEO.
I agree.
And if we can get that P.E. ratio down in the 14 range or so, then it might be very interesting to find out how they did it. Were sales better? Were earnings better? Were all of those things changing? It's hard to say. But I'd watch for that magic number because I just don't see this company as being anything but overvalued relative to the market right now.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your commentary on it.
Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Captain David.
Hello, guys. Happy Memorial Day, or let us remember what this is about.
Yeah, thank you very much, and same to you.
Yep. Two things. One, you were talking about baseline budgeting. There's something that's even more insidious, and that is if you don't spend your budget, you get in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. You lose it.
Is that the truth?
If you save money, save money punishes you.
Yeah, exactly right. And, we've heard those stories for years, the gigantic orders for furniture and computers and so on that go out on, maybe September 28th, something like that.
Yep. Just to squeeze it
included with payment herein because October 1 new budget.
Yep. The other thing I called about our favorite biotech is, it's a perfect example of having a really great product and people that have no idea what to do next.
Isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, really.
That's why it's so volatile.
I'm still in it. I mean, because I made so much money. But, it might be a buying opportunity. Sooner or later, somebody's going to figure out
how
to do the marketing.
Yep, it's the 525 theory. That stock's either going to 5 or it's going to 25.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But it ain't sitting at 2 very long.
It's better than a roulette odds.
It adds a lot of levity, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, listen, when you've made a bunch, you know, the winners tell jokes and the losers say deal.
There you go. The oldest saying in the world, no good deed goes unpunished.
No, sir. All right, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Be good. Happy Memorial Day.
So I wanted to tell my military story.
Well,
I was not in the military, but I do have a good friend from college who was. His name's Maddie. And he got in right after college, did the RTC program at my school, and he went over to, he was like a Green Beret or something along those lines. He was very, very high performing and had a team under him. He was over in Afghanistan, and they came under fire, and Maddie got shot, and his guys threw him in the back of his Humvee, and they had a 50 cal mounted above him, and they were just trying to get the heck out of Dodge, and all these spent shells from the 50 cal were landing on him, and they didn't realize it, but it was burning him pretty badly.
Oh, God.
So he ended up at Walter Reed, and he recovered fully. He's great today. And I had dinner with him about probably 8 years ago down in Tampa, my wife and I did, and he was telling us the whole story. And the thing that really stuck with me was that we asked him, so what are you going to do now? And he's like, man, I just can't wait to get back out there with my boys. And that just kind of summed up the importance of being in the military and the dedication that these guys have to serving the country. So thank you, Maddie. And I hope you got back out there with the boys.
Well, yeah. And every time I sit around here and rag about the government, I hope everybody out there knows that I specifically carve out the military. Not even all the Pentagon, but the military, especially the people in it. I do think the Pentagon is in need of dramatic reform. We spend an awful lot of money, and some of it's due to senators who shall remain unnamed, although they're quite old and from Arizona, who insist on buying weapons programs that the Pentagon insists we do not need. And that happens in Louisiana, Alabama, and all over the place. There has to be some leadership. I think Trump's the guy to give us that leadership. He's chosen good people at the top. The part about draining the swamp, better start ratcheting up. He comes home later today or tomorrow. The ratcheting of the draining the swamp is absolutely a top priority for this government right now. I don't think they should leave any stone unturned. All right. I asked a trivia question earlier. How many hot dogs do Americans eat per second over the period that we call the unofficial summer? That's Memorial Day to Labor Day. 818 a second. Take that times 60, you get per minute. Take that times 60, and you get per hour, and take that by 24. That's a boatload of hot dogs every day.
Yes, it is. Well, we're going to do our part this afternoon.
I was going to say, I think that number will ratchet up a little bit. And last week, it came to my attention that I had not answered the question, and it was about volatility. And that, we were talking about how much you can win or lose in a day. The S&P 500 index, the question was, how many times has the S&P dropped more than 7% in one day? Now, we're sitting here today talking about a pretty exciting week on the NASDAQ for 2%. But how many times has the S&P 500 dropped more than 7% in a single day? Just so you know that there's no reason for a whole bunch of panic if we get a bad day. That has happened 19 times.
That's unbelievable.
And yet, look what that index has done, and it's setting new records today. So if we have a bad day, like a week ago Wednesday, for instance, know that not the best move in the world would be to dump it right then.
Don't panic.
No. That's the hardest job that we do day to day, is telling people that it's really not a time to panic. Go long term on the, go long and go long term in the market. Enjoy the Memorial Day. We'll see you next week, same time. Thank some military people today. And then go eat a hot dog. This is the Vanway Financial Hour.